Invite you to take your Bibles now and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as we continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit and come tonight to consider faithfulness. There is an outline in your bulletin if you would like to use that. Once again, I'll read the broader context here as Paul teaches us to walk by faith and walk by the Spirit, not gratifying the desires of the flesh. So I'll begin the reading at verse 13 and read down through verse 26. Now please give your attention to the sword of the Spirit, the very word of God. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's stop and pray again. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we do ask now that you would enable us to focus our thoughts on you and what you have to say to us by your Spirit as we consider faithfulness in your word. Lord, we do confess we are so often unfaithful. So we need your faithfulness. We need you to be faithful to us even now, to be able to hear your word, receive it with faith, lay it up in our hearts, and live it out in our lives to your glory. So we do ask that you would do this for our good, but for your glory ultimately. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What comes to mind when you hear the word faithfulness? Maybe you think of wedding vows. Maybe your mind goes to a faithful friend. Maybe you think of a Christian martyr, someone like Lady Jane Grey. Maybe you think about your own unfaithfulness. We should all think of the faithfulness of God to his people, God's faithfulness to us, or the character of Christ as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It was really striking to me as I studied this past week that three different authors from three different centuries all said basically the same thing. They said, faithfulness is hard to find in our day. Faithfulness is rare. And Proverbs 20, verse 6 says nearly the same thing. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Faithfulness and faithful men are hard to find. And not just in our day. Faithfulness is rare. And that is because man is sinful and unfaithful. We are weak in faith. Even those of us who are united to Christ, we are prone to wander. We are often unfaithful. And yet the good news of Galatians chapter 5 is that faithfulness is grown in us by the sanctifying work of God, the Holy Spirit. He calls us to this. He creates this in us, the very faithfulness of Christ, who was a faithful man. And tonight we want to consider that work by looking into the sword of the Spirit, by considering the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Christ, and what this faithfulness looks like in us. And so the call and the encouragement of God's word to those of you in Christ by faith tonight is to walk by faith in the Spirit as He works out this faithfulness in you. Walk by faith in Christ and in His Spirit as He grows faithfulness in you. Be conformed to Jesus Christ as you live by faith and grow in faithfulness. Well, I want to start by considering first what faithfulness is, biblical faithfulness. What are we talking about here? Look again at verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. To bear the fruit of faithfulness by the Spirit, we need to understand what it is. And the word used here for faithfulness is actually the word that's most often translated simply as faith. Now, faith and faithfulness are closely related, but they're not exactly the same thing. Faith is a gift of God and by the Holy Spirit, which is also true of faithfulness. But faith is a saving grace in which we trust in Jesus as the only Savior. And faithfulness is a grace of sanctification that flows from faith, that flows from living by faith in union with Jesus Christ. Now, Galatians has so much to say about faith. The whole letter makes crystal clear that justification is by faith alone, not by works, not by faithfulness, not by the law or keeping particular parts of the law. It is only by the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, received by faith. And that's an absolutely foundational reality that is all through Galatians and all through the whole of Scripture. And it's a vital reminder and call to each and every one of you tonight to trust in Jesus for salvation. Have faith in Him. Faith has an object. Cling to Jesus Christ. Do not trust in man. Do not trust in your works. Do not trust in your faith or your faithfulness or lack thereof. Trust in Jesus, who He is and what He has done for you in the gospel. Now, this word, often and usually translated faith, can also mean faithfulness, fidelity, having the quality of firmness, that which can be counted on. And I think that is the case here in the context of Galatians 5. This faithfulness, this fruit of the Spirit, is patterned after God's own faithfulness. after his covenant loyalty, his consistency, his honesty. As we've been saying all along, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God cultivated in the Christian. It's us being conformed to the image of Jesus. And over again, the scripture highlights the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And so it's really no surprise to see it in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. Scripture also highlights for us again and again man's unfaithfulness. A man commits spiritual adultery by worshiping idols, by forgetting God's word, by turning away from his law, by rebelling against his creator. Man is unfaithful to God and to his fellow man. Faithfulness is not natural to the flesh, to our sinful nature. Rather than faithfulness natural, man practices what we read in verses 19 through 21. Unfaithful things like sexual immorality, idolatry, anger, drunkenness, and so on. But the Holy Spirit, in contrast to that, is conforming his people to Jesus Christ, making us faithful to God and to our fellow man, such that we serve and love one another, as Paul talks about in verse 13 and 14 here. We walk by the Spirit, crucifying the desires of the flesh, the unfaithfulness which once defined and dominated us. And of course, this is only by faith, only by the Holy Spirit. This is a fruit of the Spirit. We can have no faithfulness without faith in Christ, without being joined to the vine, without union with him. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so biblical faithfulness is living by faith, independence on the Spirit, by faith in Christ, and becoming slowly and increasingly like him, becoming faithful, trustworthy, dependable, honest, faithful in our words, in our relationships, in our actions. It's living as we pray for in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, in which we ask God to, by his grace, make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things with the humility, cheerfulness, and faithfulness of the angels in heaven, as the larger catechism puts it. And so, brothers and sisters, are you living with this biblical faithfulness? Are you taking on this aspect of Christ's character? By faith, are you faithfully doing his will? Now, if we think about those questions honestly, we know that the answer is often no. None of us are perfectly faithful. We fall short. We are still battling the flesh, as Galatians 5 reminds us. But that ought to drive us again and again to the faithfulness and to the grace of God, to fix our eyes on him and his faithfulness. And that's what I want us to consider second this evening, God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is an endless ocean. As Psalm 36, verse 5 says, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. God's faithfulness goes so far beyond even our comprehension. And it's on almost every page of the Bible. Faithfulness is of the essence of God's character. Both 1 and 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 say simply, God is faithful. In and of himself, God is faithful in all that he is, in all that he says, in everything that he does. We could trace through the scriptures how God is a promise-making and keeping God. God is a covenant-making and always-keeping God. He is always faithful. One writer said, he never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits his word. To every declaration or promise or prophecy, the Lord has exactly adhered. And we see this early on in Scripture. In Genesis 8, verse 22, after the fall, God promised, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And he has kept that promise. The coming of spring each year, the coming of each new season, testifies to his faithfulness, to his keeping that very early promise. The sun rising each day testifies to his faithfulness. I used to have a professor that said, the reason why you get out of bed in the morning and your feet hit the floor and not the ceiling is because God is faithful and he is upholding this world. Lamentations 3 tells us that his faithfulness is great. And there in Lamentations 3, that's in the context of great suffering and sorrow because of man's unfaithfulness. But comfort is found in his great faithfulness. I want you to just listen to some other ways that Scripture highlights God's faithfulness. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 promises God will sanctify us completely and says he will surely do it because he is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9 says our final, our complete salvation is secure in Christ because God is faithful. And Romans 8:30 says, those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And we could go on and on. That is just a small sampling. God is faithful always and in so many ways. You see just a little bit tonight how our entire existence is dependent on God's faithfulness. And what a wonderful place, what a wonderful one to depend on. All of our comfort, our blessings, our security, the whole of salvation is rooted in his unchanging faithfulness. Most of you in this room would have countless stories and personal testimonies of his faithfulness to you in times of blessing and in times of trial. Countless ways in which God has been faithful to you. If you're in Christ tonight, if you're a child of God by faith, that is entirely by his faithfulness. And friends, all of this is reason to put your faith in him, to trust in him all the more, the faithful one. Psalm 26, verse 3 says, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, walk in his faithfulness. Fix your eyes on his faithfulness. And as you do, he will enable you to more and more be like him. You'll be transformed. You will look more and more like your Father who is faithful. And I want us to consider next this evening, third, how we see his faithfulness in some of the lives of those who have lived before us, really one in particular. Let's consider faithful saints. It's so encouraging to see the fruit of faithfulness in the lives of other believers. Those around us today, but also those in church history and in Scripture. We could consider so many examples. I think of Joseph, Ruth, Jeremiah, all the examples from Hebrews 11, and many more. And what you would see with each and every one of those is that none of them were perfect. None of them were completely faithful. They were all sinners saved by grace through faith, but God worked in them and through them. And I want us to consider in particular, just briefly tonight, Daniel. Daniel is likely a familiar character and story, but listen to the description of Daniel from Daniel 6, 3 through 5. Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Daniel was a faithful man in a foreign land. And he had so much integrity and faithfulness, it was recognized by those around him. And so he rose to a very high position. The unbelievers around him saw this. They saw his integrity. And when his rivals looked for a fault in him, they couldn't find one. And so they had to go after his faithfulness to his God and to the law of God. And here he was in a foreign land, surrounded by unbelievers, quickly rising to the top. And it would have been easy for him to begin to cut some corners, to start enjoying some of his success, his fame. Maybe begin coasting a little bit and compromising here and there. But that is not what we read about the life of Daniel. He was full of faith and integrity. And as the story goes on, we see him continuing in faithfulness despite great opposition and great danger to his very life. And when he hears of the plan, the law that's enacted to trap him, we read of his response later in Daniel chapter 6. And it says this: "He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously." Daniel feared God, not man. Daniel was disciplined and consistent, and he was completely dependent on his faithful God. He was a man of faith and a man of prayer. And this was so costly. You know the story. He's caught and he's given to the lions. His life seemed to be over. And he knew that this could very well happen to him. And yet he was faithful. And in God's providence, the Lord was faithful to him and preserved him. But what I want you to see as you think about Daniel is not so much Daniel's faithfulness. Yes, there are lessons to learn from this man. But the key to Daniel's faithfulness was Daniel's God. You see, God's faithfulness is rooted in himself. Our faithfulness, Daniel's faithfulness, is rooted in God's. And we see this in Daniel daily getting on his knees to call upon God. Daniel knew he was weak, knew he needed the faithfulness and the support and help and strength of God. We could look at other examples in Scripture. God so often demonstrates his faithfulness through the lives of his people. Sometimes in their weakness and sin, in their unfaithfulness, and sometimes through their courage and their sacrifice, their perseverance and faithfulness to him. But that faithfulness, when we see it, does not have a human origin or explanation. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is a gift of God. It is God's grace and God's faithfulness at work in them. And friends, that ought to encourage you and me immensely in cultivating this fruit. We are like Daniel. The Lord can, by his faithfulness, give us courage and integrity and work out faithfulness in us to his glory. And I want us to consider that fourth and finally tonight, our faithfulness, the grace and the fruit of faithfulness in our lives. Galatians 5 tells us what faithfulness is not. It is not the works of the flesh. It is walking by faith, walking by the Spirit in love and humility, not living by the passions of the flesh, but by principles, by truth, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And faithfulness means being honest, keeping your word, being trustworthy, dependable, living by faith, living according to God's will, despite great difficulty, despite opposition, despite what it might cost. It means using the gifts and opportunities God has given you, fulfilling to the best of your ability the tasks and the callings that he's given you, wherever he's put you, depending on him. It means being faithful in small things, even things that are unseen by others. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, at the end of the parable of the dishonest manager, Jesus says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." And in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the master commends the faithful steward, saying, "You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much." Hudson Taylor once said, "A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in little things is a great thing." And friends, faithfulness is cultivated slowly, little by little, step by step, day to day, in small things first. And I want you to consider where God has called you to be faithful, where he has placed you. Children, you are called to be faithful. You are called to, at this season in your life, be obeying your parents, listening to them, learning from them, serving others, being diligent in your studies. Husbands and wives, you are called to be faithful spouses. You are called to be a light to the world as you mimic the faithfulness of God to his church. Older men and women, you are called to be faithful examples to the flock, to those who are younger, to those who are younger in the faith. God calls all of us to be faithful in our callings, in our different seasons of life, working as unto the Lord and not to man. We're called to be a faithful witness in society, faithful witnesses in this world, in our interactions with the world. We're called to be faithful in our homes and in our closest relationships among neighbors and coworkers. We're called to be faithful in our use of time, energy, resources, and gifts. The Lord calls you also to be faithful friends. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Being a faithful friend means giving and sometimes receiving difficult but faithful and loving words. The eighth commandment calls us to be faithful in our contracts, our matters of trust, our possessions. The ninth commandment calls us to be faithful with our words. We could go on down through all of them. What about faithfulness tonight to our covenant of church membership? We were reminded of that tonight. Number six says, "Do you purpose to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all the relationships of life, faithfully to perform your whole duty as a true servant of Jesus Christ?" We are servants and stewards of Christ? Are we living faithfully for him? Or think of the covenant of baptism. We also witnessed that tonight as well. Are we faithfully keeping the promises we have made to train our children in the Lord, to teach them the gospel? Are we being faithful to pray for these children and to pray for each other as we have promised as well as members of the church? We could go on and on considering other areas of life where the Lord has called us to be faithful. And this all can be a little bit overwhelming. It can be humbling because we are often far from faithful, are we not? But what do we do when we survey our lives or we look around at the church and when we do in fact see a lack of faithfulness? Well, first we need to own that. We need to acknowledge that and confess and repent of that. Remember, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. We need to look to the mercy and faithfulness of God and ask for his help and his spirit. We need to remember that your life in Christ, your fruitfulness, your salvation, your sanctification is rooted in his faithfulness and not yours. And friends, this should drive us to him. This should humble us and make us all the more dependent on and grateful for his faithfulness. And it should ultimately point us to Jesus Christ and exalt Jesus Christ, the one faithful man, the only completely faithful man. I began with Proverbs 20, verse 6, a faithful man who can find. Faithfulness is rare, and perfect faithfulness cannot be found except for in one man, Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:11 pictures him as the rider on the white horse and says his name was faithful and true. His name is faithful. Hebrews 3 says he was faithful to who appointed him. Hebrews 4 says he is a sympathetic high priest because he was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. He was completely faithful under the hardest conditions, with the greatest temptations and suffering and pain and solitude. Daniel's faithfulness was costly. Our faithfulness can be costly at times, but Christ's faithfulness was far more costly. It cost him his life. He was faithful unto death. We're already saying tonight, Psalm 15, it speaks of one who is faithful, who walks blamelessly, who speaks the truth, and who swears to his hurt and does not change. And friends, that is not us. That is not you. That is not me, but it is Christ, and it can be us in him. And think about how he swore, he promised to be our Savior, to be the Messiah. And even when that hurt, even when that cost him his own life, when the Father turned his back on him, as he was a sacrifice for sinners on the cross, he did not change. He was faithful. And his faithfulness is yours by faith. He is your hope, your Savior. He is making you new. He's making you like himself. Some of you are familiar with the Heidelberg Catechism. Question number one: what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer goes this way: that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, what comfort there is in our faithful God, our faithful Savior. He is the faithful man. He was never once unfaithful. And by his faithfulness, by his perfect life and death and resurrection for sinners, you are saved and sanctified. And so fix your eyes on him. Rejoice in him. Walk by faith in him and by his Spirit as he makes you like himself, as he gives you the fruit of faithfulness. Let's pray. Triune God, we are amazed at your faithfulness to us. Lord, we are humbled by our own unfaithfulness, by our sin, by our foolishness, our pride, how quick we are to wander from you, to live by sight and not by faith. Lord, we do ask that you would forgive us, that you'd be faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we ask that you would sanctify us by your Spirit. Make us like yourself, not to us, but to your name be the glory. And so, Lord, give us greater faithfulness by your Spirit. Keep our eyes fixed on your faithfulness to us in Christ and in the gospel. Do this for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.